Welcome to CGNet Nonprofit Tech Talk. Today we have as our guest Ken Novak, a longtime CGNetian, who is going to help us understand how to estimate your Amazon Web Services hosting charges. How are you doing, Ken?
Pretty good. How are you, Tim?
Good. Okay, where do we begin on estimating the charges? Is it by first defining what Amazon charges for and doesn't charge for?
Right. So we're talking here about the Amazon Web Services suite. They've got about 30 or 40 different categories of things they provide. But for most folks who are thinking of hosting with Amazon, it breaks down to machines that you're running there. It's as though you were installing a server in a data center. And they break down the charges kind of like a normal data center would. There's the machine that you're configuring. It's actually a virtual machine in the sense that it's a pile of software that's running on somewhere in a whole cluster of physical machines. But anyway, it looks like a machine in that it's got a certain amount of processing power, a certain amount of RAM memory, and some kind of operating system preloaded on it. So that's one class of charges, is this bundle, and they probably got about 30 kinds of virtual machines. Then they charge you for the storage, how much disk is attached to that virtual machine. Or you can also have storage that's not attached to a virtual machine. That might be, say, a machine image, a backup that was taken. Or it might be something on one of their database services. And then they have network charges, like when you get an IP number or you use a certain amount of capacity getting traffic, getting data in and out of the data center. And finally, they have a whole bunch of special services involving monitoring systems and specialized databases, specialized analytic services, and so forth. So anyway, that's the categories. It's the virtual machines, the storage, the network, and miscellaneous other stuff.
So is the best way to sort of get a handle on this to start with a simple example? Let's say I wanted to host a website. How would I be charged for something like that?
Yeah, that's a classic situation where there's a virtual machine where you've chosen some kind of base of software and some amount of memory that you need and some amount of speed capacity that you need on that virtual machine. And they'll be charged for storage for whatever disk space is used in that machine and whatever backups you keep. And normally in a website, you'll often have a database of some kind. Maybe you'll run your own database software. Maybe you'll run Amazon's database software. And finally, there'll be network traffic in and out of the machine. You might also pay for a couple of extras like static IP numbers, or maybe a domain name server if you don't have one already. So those are the categories of charges. And so as a result, the bill you get at the end of the month will be at about six or seven different items. And they charge everything by the hour or by the gigabyte. So nothing's done on a per month basis. It's quite common that if you sign up for an account and you're not running anything that month, that, you know, your charges will be literally zero. But so it all depends on how many hours you're running this stuff. Most times, if you're running a database, it'll be, you know, after the first month or two. If you're running a website, after the first month or two, you'll just be running it 24/7. You know, 720 hours a month. But yeah, you'll have those. You'll have those different five or six line items for a simple website.
That still sounds really iffy with a lot of maybes and perhapses. And so how do I actually figure out what it's going to cost?
Well, there are some rules of thumb to go by, and there are some basic prices to work with. Luckily, the biggest price in all the configurations we've looked at, it's maybe 80 or 90% of the costs wind up being that first charge, the virtual machine that you're running at Amazon. That for the smallest machine, it might be 10 cents an hour, which turns into $7 a month. But more typically, people are running machines that have higher capacity. And so it's more typically, let's say, $70 to $200 a month. And that's by far the biggest part. There's a lot of other smaller items that have to do with the storage charges and the network charges. But for something like an ordinary website, they get pretty small. I have some sort of rules of thumb on that that I often use. That first, starting with the network charges, you'll probably want a static IP number. You can get away without one, but you might as well get one of those. That's about $4 a month. When you transfer data in and out of the virtual machine, it's rare that you'll use more than 10 gigabytes per month of traffic. We've got a bunch of machines we host here. I went looking through them, and while there are a couple that have a lot of traffic, they're ones that have very large databases or geographic information systems where they're moving, an average user will move 100 megabytes every time they log in, or where someone's transferring a bunch of video files. But, you know, those will have a lot of traffic, but almost all other websites come in under 10 gigs a month. I think the median for us was under 4. So, you know, heck, with all the, with whatever kind of overheads you can imagine and other kinds of issues you might kind of imagine, you're still bound to be less than 20 gigs a month of traffic. And at Amazon prices, that's only a couple of bucks a month. So even though that looks like it's an unbounded cost, in fact, it's very rare that it's significant at all. The storage charges are also fairly small. It's proportional to the amount of space you use. Let's say you've got a 60 gigabyte hard drive on your machine. That'll wind up being under $6 a month. And if you add some additional storage for backups, maybe you double it, but you're still, you know, you need to figure it out, because some people do have much bigger storage requirements, but in typical cases, it'll still be pretty small compared to the virtual machine. So those are some of the rules of thumb I'd go by.
So if you want to actually come up with a figure though, like you say, okay, I want to host my website on Amazon, and so the CPU is going to cost me maybe 10 bucks a month, and the bandwidth is maybe going to be a couple of bucks a month, and the storage is going to be maybe 12 bucks a month. Okay, that's 24. What else?
Right. Well, the CPU, like I say, the absolute smallest that you can get might be, you know, in the, you know, in a small number of dollars per month. But a more typical one that you're actually going to use in production is going to be more. That's the number one thing you've got to look up on the Amazon website.
So how do you figure out how much CPU you need for a website?
Well, it's generally not the CPU that's the issue, but the amount of RAM. And you'll know when you first build the site, or your developer will know, you know, there's a certain amount of RAM that's recommended to use whatever software you're using, whether it's Drupal on Linux or whether it's, you know, whatever sort of system you're running under Windows, that you're going to have a certain amount of RAM that you know you're going to need, that your developer at least will know you're going to need. And might be as little as a gigabyte or as much as 8 gigabytes. And that'll be the big thing that'll influence the price. And so Amazon has a standard price list, and you look up the cost per hour and then just multiply that out to see what the what that component of the price will be. Like I say, that's mostly a function of the memory you're using. But Amazon provides bundles that include commercial software. So you can get a bundle which just has open source software, and then you're just paying for the CPU and the RAM, and the open source software essentially is free. If, on the other hand, you're running Windows or Red Hat Linux or Oracle, those cost a little bit more per hour, and that little bit more is what's going to pay Microsoft or Oracle or Red Hat for the license to their software. So it turns out that there's, like I say, probably about 20 or 30 kinds of virtual machine. You're going to want to pick the right one for your application based on what software you need and how much RAM you need. And, you know, it's possible you'll need something that has more CPU, but in our previous example of the website, that's usually not an issue.
Okay. So then basically I need to get an estimate of how, from my web developer or web designer, for example, in this simple case, about how much memory I'd need. And then I can figure that I've got maybe about $12 a month for a disk and a couple of bucks a month for bandwidth. And so that's what I need to get it done.
Right. And okay. Yeah. And one of the good things about just getting started with Amazon is that at the beginning, when you're first developing your website, or your application, whatever it is, whatever your hosted application is, you'll only pay by the hour for the time that you actually use it. So if you're just wanting to get your feet wet, if the person who's going to develop this application, if the technical guy wants to test things out, it's very inexpensive, because as long as you turn the machine off when you're not using it, you're only paying, you know, typically under a dollar an hour for the and usually much less than a dollar an hour for the virtual machine on Amazon.
Right. So, and if you want to increase the amount of machine memory or something like that, you can do that. I mean, if you decide you need more.
Absolutely. And you just do it straight out of a straight off a web page, and you know, you can really resize your system quite easily.
Okay. Are there any gotchas I should watch for? Are there complications, unexpected charges?
Well, you know, like anything that's got variable prices, like as people I'm sure discovered when they're if they've ever had someone where they're paying for someone's cell phone bill and they discover that there's a lot of texting charges one month. You know, that kind of thing can happen on Amazon too, where the charges can get away from you if you're not paying attention. A classic example would be storage. If you're making backups all the time of the work that you're doing, but then you don't go back and clean up the storage, that can build up. Sometimes you get a developer who, but most developers, you know, rightly will want to run two or three machines at a time sometimes, even if they only need one in production. They'll want to have one for doing some of their early testing on. They'll want to have another one for running, let's say, a trial or a stage version of something. And that's great. I mean, that's one of the great things about Amazon is you don't have to contract in advance for exactly how much you need. If at certain stages you need three or four or five machines running at once and later you only need one, that's terrific. You'll only pay for what you use. But if you're lazy or you do something crazy and you leave your machines up all the time, even after you've gone into production, then you'll be paying for those machines as well on an ongoing basis. So, you know, you need to pay some attention to to the resources your developers are using, because whoever they are, they need to know that, that this, even though this is an infinitely flexible, large scale resource, the more they use, the more it costs you. I suppose there are a couple of other small gotchas at the beginning when you're picking the software that you're using. You'll wind up, if you look at the price list, you'll see that some of the software options can be very expensive. For let's say, for example, the Microsoft SQL Enterprise version, or for certain Oracle suites, that then a virtual machine can be quite expensive per hour because you're buying a premium software configuration. Or if you just pick too big a machine, if you go for a machine that's got 16 or 32 gigs of RAM when all you needed was 4 or 8. So the best thing to do there is to make sure you're picking the right software, and then start off with a smaller size if you're not sure, and then if you need it, you can always dial it up.
Sounds good. Okay, Ken, this sounds like a good start to the question of how to estimate your costs, and now I hope that we can have another discussion where we talk about how to minimize these costs.
That's right. There are definitely some tricks in mind, and maybe we can pick that up next time.
Okay, sounds great. Thank you very much, Ken.
Bye-bye.
Right, bye-bye.